Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Genesis chapter 8, verses 6 through 19. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Reading from Genesis, the 8th chapter. At the end of 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark that he had made and sent forth a raven. It went to and fro until the waters were dried up from the earth. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark, for the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. He waited another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came back to him in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked olive leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Then he waited another 7 days and sent forth the dove, and she did not return to him any more. In the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. In the second month, on the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife and your sons' wives with you. Bring out with you every living thing that is with you of all flesh, birds and animals and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm on the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth." So Noah went out, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every bird, everything that moves on the earth, went out by families from the ark. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. After the storm, the fair sun shows its face. I don't think that we really make these sorts of assertions very often in our day, but we find them endlessly in our hymns and in our prayers. We find these expressions true in all the histories of the Scriptures. The Lord brings His people through suffering and trial and then safely out the other side. He brings good out of evil, even. He relents of His disaster. He plucks our feet out of the net. And He promises pointedly in the words of His chosen apostle that this slight momentary affliction is not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed in us. What is it that causes our age of Christians to be afraid of sayings like these? I think it's our age of evidence-based thinking that doesn't like assertions but only proof. There's obviously great use for such a logical, reasonable approach. Here in today's text, we see Noah conduct one of the first experiments in recorded history, you might say. He sends out his birds. But to the chagrin of the scientist, Noah still thanks God for delivering the dry land, and we'll hear about his altar and his sacrifice next week. Noah receives the blessing of the dry land on the first year, the first month, the first day that begins a new creation. All of it as God's fulfilled promise, worthy of thanksgiving. We should not shy away from asserting also that the Lord will deliver from adversity and troubles even before the proof of it has come. Nor should we withhold our thanks when in hindsight we see that He has preserved us. Faith expects good from the Lord, and that is not a theology of glory. We're rarely able to make that kind of assertion on the basis of evidence. Even with all of the biblical data, it's not as if correlation adds up to a cause. It's right to be nervous when we see or fear that people are treating God like a law of pseudoscience. We also get nervous when we see that people are expecting good from God. And that easily goes too far, friends. Faith does expect good from God. Faith is certain of what is yet unseen. On what then do our assertions of these things rest? They have to have some kind of ground or rationale, otherwise faith would be what all of the skeptics think it is. Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy, soon leprechauns, faith. Deciding to go along with something even though you know it's not true. Our faith is not that. Our faith is not God can do anything, so I've decided that He will do this one particular thing. Our faith rests on His promises. That's the ground. He has promised good to us. He's declared that He is our Father. And He has made it so and evident to us by uniting His Son to our flesh in the incarnation and uniting His Son to our cause in His crucifixion. Jesus says that His words will never pass away, even while all of heaven and earth do. To assert something on the basis then of that sure word in Christ is to have a ground for faith. In Him, all things hold together. In God's promises, Noah believed that the ark would not remain dry as he built it. And likewise, he did believe that the casket that he had built would not end up burying him beneath the waves. And so we do not sin, and we do not presume too much when we, dear Christians, say that in Christ there is still great hope. There always is. If God is for us, who can be against us? And it is the nature of hope to confess all the way against what it sees now and what it experiences today. It awaits deliverance. Ills that still grieve me soon are to leave me, it says. And these are not whitewashing assertions, nor do they cause it to happen, of course. But we ought to comfort ourselves in this way, and not without Jesus Christ, but because of Him and in constant reference to Him. It is not merely that things should get better, but it is that in Christ there is firm ground to believe this and to hope in it. It is worth sending out a second bird. It is worth, as someone said, planting an apple tree. It is worth venturing something in the name of Christ. It's worth being fruitful and multiplying, even yet while the world is filled with corpses and flooded with destruction all around us, and that's what our children will have to clean up, I suppose. Even when the foundations of society are destroyed and it looks like everything has to be started anew, if Noah's experience is any guide, it is worth the risk of further danger and sorrows and ills, even once the waters have subsided and we've at last emerged safe from our shelter. Because we, dear Christians, expect the resurrection of the dead. We have a promise that this world is not going to just spiral down into the drain and out slowly but surely. Nor is this earth going to carry on in its miserable monotony forever. And nor will it be doomed to a failure. We truly expect a new creation. And yes, because of Jesus Christ, we expect one where at last sin will no longer be an unwelcome stowaway. And if that were all we had, that much maligned, future-oriented, heaven-focused faith, that really would be more than enough. But look around you. Of course, the sun often comes out with joy and with peace, even now in this life also. The devil is beat down under our feet because of what Christ has accomplished. And wherever it does, simply give thanks to God for His goodness. That's all that's needed. You don't have to figure out how it worked. God has sent His Son to figure that out, to make peace by the blood of His cross. So how will He not with Him graciously give us all things? Thanks be to God, in Jesus' name. Amen.